as we dig deeper, delve into this idea of the onoma, the name of God. We get it from the very beginning. Genesis means the beginning. And Scripture begins with, in the beginning, God. Right up front, we get God introduced in the cosmos. Before anything is formed, in the darkness, in the formlessness, the chaos, as Scripture describes it, is God. God is in the beginning. And we get God beginning to be expressed in all of creation. Creation is a name of God. It's a part of the onoma, the full expression and revelation of God. Creation itself names God in all of its beauty, in all of its wonder, in all of its terror. Creation names the Creator. And of course, we have all of the stories of people beginning their association, their relationship with this God, as God constantly seeks to reveal God's self, give the gift of God's self to the creation and to the creatures God has made. People begin to apprehend that. They begin to receive that. And they begin to identify that this is not just any God. This is God, God. This is the God of our ancestors. God is revealed. God is named as the God of the patriarchs, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Then we get this marvelous experience with Moses in the wilderness. Moses on a wilderness journey. I'm still reveling in this time we spent together during Lent. We're still making sense and meaning out of everything that we discovered there. Wilderness journeys. And Moses is on one when he encounters a bush that shimmers with flaming light and is not consumed. And as he approaches, he begins to realize he's having an experience of the divine. And this voice calls to him and identifies God's self as, I am God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm calling on you now. My people are in bondage, and I'm calling on you to lead them out. I have a job for you to do, Moses. And this really, in a very real sense, is the first time that we get God introducing God's self to humanity by name. Moses asks him, people are going to wonder who sent me on this chore? Who set this task for me? Who shall I say commissioned me for this role of leading your people out? And God says, tell him, Hayah sent you. In Hebrew, we get the first time God speaks God's name on behalf of humanity. Tell him, Hayah, I am, sent you. And Hayah is this way of identifying being, existence, becoming. These are the things that Hayah means in Hebrew. It's a verb. And I think there's just divine brilliance in that. God's name is a verb. Isn't that beautiful? God's name is an action verb. God's name is being, becoming, revealing, giving the gift of self. God always throughout history. Then we have an addition in this same discourse with Moses. God says, Hayah Asher Hayah. He adds a relative pronoun for you other English majors out there. A relative pronoun is one thing that refers a thing to another thing or a person to another person, relates to things or people, right? You're going to get a quiz on this, so you might want to take that down. Hayah Asher Hayah. I am that I am. Or I am who I am. Can be translated either way. But this connection between being and existence and forcefully articulating that as literally God's self. God is being itself. This one who speaks creation into being. who is continually creating and renewing, redeeming and restoring. This is the God of the ongoingness of being. Profound. And I can just imagine Moses standing there saying, yeah, I am that I am sent me. And yet, this is the way in which God is disclosing God's self to humanity, something of the enormity, the wonder, the mystery of God's self coming into human capacity. Is that even possible? And yet it's a beginning. God has made the overture. God has made the introduction. And we go on from there. We have all kinds of names for God in Scripture. In the Hebrew Testament alone, we have lots of names for God. We have two traditions that grow within Judaism. From our Tuesday morning Bible study people, from the divided kingdom period, we have writers of biblical texts from both the northern kingdom, Israel, it comes to be called, although all of it is Israel, right? And southern kingdom, Judah. And we have respective names for God that come from both places, from both scriptural traditions. In the north, the predominant word for God is Elohim. And this is a place where lots of pagan idol statue worship takes place and creates lots of problems for the Israelites in the north. Baal and Asherah worshipers from the Phoenician gods of that place and time. Elohim is plural. God's name is plural. And we could translate it God of gods or God among gods. This is the God who ascends, transcends above other lesser deities and objects of worship. Elohim is the God of gods. And in the south, we get this tradition that grows up around the Hayah. We get the tradition that grows up around Yahweh. And later on, we'll translate that to Jehovah. This is where our whole Jehovah tradition comes from. Yahweh is the name of God predominantly used in the writings of the southern kingdom. So we have these different ways. Yahweh will be shortened into four consonants in Scripture, in Hebrew Scripture. It's called the Tetragrammaton. There's a $5 word for you. And a great trivia question. YHWH is the way we would transliterate it into our consonants. And they lack the vowels for this reason. God says, do not take my name in vain. Do not profane the name of God. Do not abuse or misuse the name of God. And so to avoid that completely, it's foreshortened to just this cryptic tetragrammaton of consonants so that there's no chance that anyone is going to inadvertently abuse that in its use. This is an ultra observance of Hebraic law. Names for God. The Bible is filled with them. Try this one, El Elyon. This is a northern kingdom name, right? El Elohim, El, El Elyon, God Most High, from Hebrew Scripture. El Olam, God of creation, or God Eternal, gets used in both ways. Both of these in Genesis and in Exodus. El Shaddai. We have some songs that sing about El Shaddai that use this name of God. God Almighty. El Shaddai. All of these used in Hebrew Scripture. And then we have the Southern Kingdom's contributions to this as well. The Yahwist tradition. Jehovah Adonai. We have songs that use the word Adonai as well. God is Lord. We have God proclaimed, and we have God's role and rule of authority. Yahweh, Adonai, God is Lord. There are dozens of these. Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God of righteousness. Jehovah Gael, God our redeemer. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And of course, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, the God who orders the world according to God's goodness and grace. Dozens of these. And all of them represent people reaching for God and seeking understanding. Their experience, we were delivered, we were redeemed, Jehovah Jireh. God is the Redeemer. We were delivered. We are a gathered confederation of tribes under one God, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. These are people's experiences of God manifesting in the world, this active verb manifesting in creation and making itself, making God's self known to people. And people respond by attributing to God these names, these terms that describe their experience of that divine revelation. And so they continue, as you might imagine. There's lots and lots of them. I liken this, and I'm almost reluctant to do this, but I liken this to the old fable about the four blind seers. And this is not meant to be pejorative, so please don't think that I'm abusing God's name or blaspheming God. I would never do that. But the four blind seers are the ones who seek to know an elephant by reaching in the dark. You've heard this story. And one touches a trunk and says, well, this animal clearly is a giant serpent. And one touches a leg and says, this animal is like a tall tree. And one touches the side of the elephant and says, this animal is like a vast wall. And one touches the tail and says, well, clearly this animal is a broom. Everyone having these different experiences, God revealing God's self to people who seem to be almost reaching in the dark towards this one who is seeking at the same time to reach towards us and disclose, give the gift of God's self to us. And we feel our way in that darkness and we say, God must be like this and God must be like this. And it's all true. Because these various experiences that they have in the Hebrew Testament continue on into Christian witness as well. Experiences of the divine manifestation of God. Enter Jesus, and we get an emphasis placed on a revelation of God that sustains us as God's people this day, and that is God as Father. There are very few references to God as Father in the Hebrew Testament. This is something that Jesus teaches from. We get one in Isaiah. You, O Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer. From of old is your name. The nature of God has existed from the beginning, the existent one. And we have come to know you as our Lord and our Redeemer, Isaiah says. You are our Father, our Pater, the head of household. So we get Isaiah referring to God as Father. And some places in the Psalms, we get a reference to the benevolent God. Father of orphans, protector of widows, is God in his holy habitation. Here is the one with the special heart for the weak, the oppressed, the downtrodden. God the benevolent. God refers to God's self as Father in one of the Psalms. They shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Here again are more names for God. These are all Jehovah and Elohim names. Our Father, the rock of my salvation, my God. And then, as a loving father to his children, as a father has compassion in Psalm 103, as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who honor him. As a father, this reference comes in. Jesus comes among us and shares this revelation. Jesus will refer to God with a word of his time, Abba, which means father, but discloses an even deeper and more intimate sense of that relationship, a loving, close relationship. It's the relationship he has with God. This is the way Jesus describes his relationship with God, is as Abba, Father. And it's a relationship that he invites all of us into. He doesn't say this as though he has some exclusivity or some special position with relationship to God. He says this is the nature of the relationship God wants to have with everyone, because this is the nature of God, Abba. He teaches us to pray, Our Father in heaven. Jesus' self, as we talked last week, Yahushua, God is salvation, his name means. He's named after Joshua by an angel. Joseph and Mary are instructed. We get what Isaiah said about him. Again, the whole focus of our time last time. Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Here is one who comes in the name of God. Here is one who comes in the onoma, the character and essence of God, revealed in the flesh so that we can see it, embrace it, follow it, live into it ourselves. Jesus' living ministry is an embodiment of the onoma of God, and his invitation to us is for our living ministry to be that same embodiment of the onoma of God. Beginning with Haya, he says, I am. And he discloses God's way. He says, Haya, I am the way, the truth, and the life that leads to the very heart of the Father. And then he asks one thing, and one thing only from all of us. Follow me. Amen?